Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Just as a note, with our new website launch, I know we're working through it today, so please send us your emails. Anything that you see is not working properly through your computer, including what kind of browser you're using, just so we can work out any additional bugs within this new site. I hope you all are enjoying that site. Now, to kick off the editorials today, we are chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show and the Pre-Market Prep website. Now, Joel, look, these markets are still volatile. They're really fighting for some sort of direction here. So that leads us to looking at what the next catalyst might be outside of, well, that Fed meeting that's coming up next month. And we are approaching earnings season. So Q3 earnings, they're going to start trickling out, I believe, tomorrow. Joel, what do you think is important to watch this earnings season for broad market direction?
Corey, Chad, thanks for having me today. I think, you know, the earnings are going to be important. I think the guidance is going to be important. And I think how they treat, you know, the stocks, you know. If that, you know, you have a stock, you start out, I mean, every stock has a different technical makeup going into the report. But if you get a slew of good reports and, you know, the stocks have the pops and they are sold hard, then that would make me, along with some of the technicals that I'm following, make me lean a little bit to the bearish side. If, you know, if they're good reports and decent guidance, and you get sustained upward, you know, moves, then yeah, you know, let's move into, you know, get through October, November, you know, have the Santa Claus rally and perhaps get to new all-time highs by the end of the year. But I think you're really going to need a good earnings season or good guidance in order for that scenario to take place.
Now, when you talk about guidance, are you talking about companies looking ahead at these supply issues that have been, or supply chain issues that have been outlined, or any of these sort of macro issues that have come on the back of COVID and this whole restart?
Supply, yeah, we were just discussing that before. I think when I look at the, you know, that end of the scenario, you went from having, you know, like no demand, right, during the lockdowns and cut back on supplies. And then all of a sudden, you know, the rush to reopen and then demand had to pick up. And so for me, when I look at this, it just means higher prices. And, you know, you have, you know, high demand and lower supplies. I mean, that, you know, to me is, you know, inflationary, which is not good for the market. Now, you know, when you say inflation is not good for the market, I mean, there's also inflation in stocks. People want to hold hard assets, right? If you're sitting in cash, you know, you're losing out to inflation. So you could also make an argument that, you know, and, you know, there's inflation in stocks too. But I don't, you know, the Fed, I think it's the earnings season. I see, you know, if the Fed, you know, becomes a little bit more hawkish, or if the market forces their hand, that will prevent us. But it's just, it's more of a feeling that, hey, we've had a great, you know, year and a half, year and three quarters run. You know, why not have a longer period of consolidation or trading ranges? Because that's what markets usually do. You know, the trending markets are nice when they're trending down, not as nice trending up, but that's kind of what my instincts are telling me. And then when I look at, you know, the levels and the technicals that I like to follow, I've never had the market hang at like a quarterly level for so long. They trade above it, below it, and dance around it. So a lot of indecision in the market, and hoping for to, you know, get this clarity through earnings.
Well, Joel, another thing on inflation is that we are still seeing wages creeping higher. Even though the jobs report wasn't that great last week, the market kind of had some knee-jerk reactions both directions on it. A lot of markets did. One of the other takeaways from that report was that, you know, wages were still creeping higher. So that's another cost input besides fuel being a cost input and it being higher. that companies have to reckon with. And so they may have to raise their prices, which would keep, you know, fueling this whole inflation cycle. Do you think that that could be a crimp on growth moving forward, as a lot of companies have to adjust up higher to attract more talent, deal with the higher energy prices, and deal with just the overall input cost they have from all their different goods being higher? Do you think that as the prices creep higher and higher, that the consumers may get hurt, and it may affect, you know, retail sales and what the consumer can go spend money on?
Yeah, and that's one factor in the equation. The other factor in the equation is getting people to work, right? If you don't have people in your store working, selling stuff, right, how are you going to do it? So not only are you looking at cost of goods inflation, but you're looking at inflation in wages, right? So that's going to have to be passed down to the consumer as well. So you got a double whammy there. I mean, you know, you see the, you know, wanted signs. You saw what the unemployment data is. You know, people are demanding higher wages. And so, you know, you put those two things together and it doesn't paint a great picture overall for the market. But, you know, time and time again, what have we seen from this market? Is it just its ability to absorb as much bad information as possible and still rally? And is this going to be the time where, you know, they look at the earnings and no matter how good they are, they still sell the stocks off? Then I think that will be your cue for the remainder of the year. I do mean, people are so complacent in this market. I mean, it's like you talk to people and it's almost like a foregone conclusion that we're going back to all-time highs. And I think that is just, you know, an unrealistic expectation to have. I'm not shorting the market. I'm not liquidating my long-term portfolio. But I think this in several different ways, the market's got ahead of itself. But I think the combination of the factors you just mentioned are going to bear out in Q4. And maybe perhaps you'll get the good earnings, but you get the lower guidance. And guidance trumps earnings. So a lot of different factors at work. We'll start out with J.P. Morgan tomorrow, and then we'll get some of the other big banks.
So, Joel, when it comes to that whole, I guess, discussion on should you be protected in these markets and what even does constitute protection in terms of different asset classes, we had some interesting comments out of J.P. Morgan and Jamie Dimon about Bitcoin. J.P. Morgan made the comment that there's a better inflation hedge than gold. Jamie Dimon then came out and said Bitcoin's worthless. So we do have J.P. Morgan talking both sides of that market, but it does bring up the question of what is a safe asset? What is a defensive play for at least a portion of your strategy? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, we all want to think it's gold, right? And
depends what generation you are, though, I think.
Yeah. You know what? The younger generation, I know. And that's another thing. I mean, it's, the Reddit crowd, is the bling bling, you know, important to them. And I don't think it is. I mean, hard assets, right? And I guess you have to, you know, stocks are you know, hard assets. Sending cash, you're losing to inflation. Bitcoin, I think, can be a good inflation hedge too. I think it's got, you know, far ahead of JB Diamond's comments. It's had a nice run and it's cooling off. So that's a potential. It's definitely a potential inflation hedge. Gold, you know, it's been hanging out in this area for a long time. Been looking a little bit, stronger, you know, on the technical end. But you're going to need something. You know, you're going to need something. I mean, you've seen some crazy, you know, moves by, you know, some of the European countries or something, you know, saying, you know, we're really in our gold supply or, you know, some other thing that you just, you know, you don't have in your playbook. And then one day you walk in and gold's up like $100 and you're saying, oh, why didn't I buy it? You know, why didn't I buy it at 1750, 1760? So it's not moving off the traditional You know, hints of inflation and rising rates, but I don't know. It just kind of feels like there's some kind of hidden catalyst out there for it. And it's out there. I got some. I don't buy it. I don't sell it. I don't trade it. Up 540 today. So maybe it will. Maybe gold will have its day.
Well, Joel, in addition to kind of the generational thing we see sometimes between gold and the cryptocurrencies, et cetera, there's also the new generation of traders where it doesn't really matter which generation group they're from. There's a lot of traders that just got started in the markets really since this whole pandemic started. You know, there's been hundreds of thousands of new trading accounts opened across multiple trading platforms, and most of them have only known a one-way market to the upside. Yeah. Everything's been so when we actually do get a corrective move, maybe just a 5 or 10% corrective move, or just enough to kind of rattle people's cages, do you think these new investors, regardless of which demographic they're from, will just cower in cash? And is that possibly why the dollar is getting bit up? Or do you think they'll pile into the safer tech stock names like the FANG stocks? Or will they go in? Do you think they'll go into bonds or gold? I mean, where will these new traders go if there's a real pain in the marketplace?
They'll try and find the next hot thing, you know? And, you know, the money will move around. And unfortunately, they either, you know, better, you know, they don't have to play the short side. But I think, the, you know, those new traders, if they've accumulated any kind of wealth, really to be a long-term trader as opposed to investor in the market, you got to be able to, you know, take, you know, both ends of, you know, trade both ends of the stick. And so far they haven't had to do that. They've been rewarded with a lot. I mean, there's some stocks that haven't come back, obviously, after their dips. But I really don't see that happening until, you know, we take out the lows that we had from last week. Bases the S&P 4250, 4260, that, you know, that area. And what it's going to take to shake them out of that mentality is going to be like two big down days. Like we get the big down day and then it rallies back. And then we get a down day or overnight action and then it rallies back. So until you get those like back-to-back 500-point down days, they're not going to break these traders because they've been rewarded on it so many times that they'll keep going to it. So when that day is coming, if it's ever coming, I don't know. It seems to me like we're long overdue. But, you know, not until, you know, okay, we had a big down day. Okay, I've seen this scenario again. I'm loading up. Uh-oh, wake up the next morning and it doesn't come back. So that I think that will be it until you have those back-to-back down days, or, you know, really the Fed becoming more hawkish. I think you just have to respect what has been working, and that's been by the dip.
Really sounds like this market, and to wrap us up here, Joel, is indecisive right now, right? You still have the bulls that have been making money, and you've also had three quarters, even more than three quarters, going back about five quarters of positive moves in the market. But when we look at this quarter, and undoubtedly going to get some volatility, are you going to believe any, let's say, breakout or breakdown if it doesn't, let's say, last for at least a week or more?
Just as we were talking, you know, that the market went up to the screws went up to the high of the day, you know, and, you know, around noon, and I'm thinking, you know, wow, you know, and that's, you know, one strategy is when, you know, the market takes out the pre-market highs to, you know, look at some follow through to the upside, and boom, no, it hit that area, was rejected, and now it's a quick 10 points lower. I think what your investors should look for is a scenario that we had last week. It was a very rare scenario. I believe we had four inside days in a row, and it was a really big range. And we're kind of trading at what the top of that trading range was, and we broke out. But, you know, wait, you know, you don't have to, you know, be active every day if you're a trader. Wait for those inside days to develop and then go with the flow of the market if it breaks out to the upside or break out to the downside. But Right now, that 42.65 area that I mentioned in the S&Ps is rock solid support. And then I'll just go with last week's high. It's 44.2150. We're still 50 handles away from that. So, I mean, that could be your range, you know, for the rest of the year. And you could see a lot of the trading action that you're seeing now, which could be aggravating. But what you have to understand and accept is that this is more the norm of the markets than, you know, than like the constant rallies that we've had for the last year and a half.
Yeah, very good point. Joel, we'll wrap it up here. Again, these markets, they are, for the most part, directionless right now, and that's tying into a lot of other sectors. So, man, this Q4 could be choppy. Looks like it's going to be choppy and more maybe frustrating for the general investor who either wants it to go straight up or straight down. Doesn't seem like it's going either direction right now. Joel, thanks as always for your time, buddy. I'll post a link to your website below, and we'll chat again next week. Have a great rest of your week.
Okay, thank you.